Heather McDonald is going to be at Sidesplitters all weekend. She's making her way in the studio now. Not Till Live Week number 3 happens December 15th, brought to you by Budweiser.
Yes.
How are you, Pumpkin?
Pumpkin.
Very nice to see you.
I'm doing great. Thank you. That was the name I had growing up.
Was it?
Yeah. Cause
we do research.
We know. Yeah. Well, we talked to your parents. We know what's going on.
We talked to your neighbors.
You'll put her at ease right away.
The Brendansons. We know them.
Who called you that? I call. Is that a fan? Your father?
I'm the youngest of 5, so it was just like Pumpkin, and then like my brother will still say it sometimes.
Oh, I don't know why I've said that on the air. I think I said it as a joke first, and remember like in the 90s when everybody was calling girls bitches. Bitches be doing everybody started saying
now
bitches.
But you know what? Now girls call each other that.
And yeah. It's like the N-word.
But it's and it's like it's supposed to be like endearment. Like, bitch, you better be coming over here for drinks.
Right.
Like it's not
bitch, please.
Yeah, like housewives, especially Atlanta housewives, keep calling each other bitch.
Okay. Let's jump right into this.
Okay, let's
So several people, your fans, said to me, you will love her. She's all about reality TV shows.
I am.
Okay, this is the gayest. This is the gayest non-gay show you'll ever be on.
I love it.
I am obsessed with 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh,
I knew we were gonna be best friends. 90 Day Fiancé is the best show I've seen. Listen,
first of all, it should be required watching for all Americans because it'll make you so grateful to be an American.
Yes,
because what these people, the people that you have to marry just to get here because you're living in like a hut.
You'd marry some fat girl from Bradenton to get there.
You have to marry the worst guy ever. Okay, so my favorite is the girl from Thailand, Annie, and 48-year-old David, who has no home.
No money.
No car, no job. He's living with another family.
Now, what's their deal? Because the other family is like a dude in his 40s, good-looking, smoking hot black wife.
Yes.
Kids.
I think they might have just wanted to be on TV.
I mean, I wouldn't give this guy anything.
Like, what kind of friendship do those two guys have? First of all, let me just tell you, the 48-year-old guy only wears this one outfit that he bought in Thailand, but it came in 4 colors. So it's like elastic pants. It's like one of those type of outfits that you would get like on the street in a plastic wrapper.
Yes.
And it comes in white, black, navy, and red. And that's what he wears because he's like short and fat.
Yeah, he's a fat nerd. Like he looks like he could be the Penguin in Batman.
And the guy and the brother said that he called him the Penguin the other night. And so he's drinking and she's like, I don't like when he drinks. I don't know if he can take care of me.
Yeah.
He had no money. He had no job.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I don't like you.
And she can hardly speak English. She's forced.
I'm ready to marry her.
Oh.
Just so she doesn't have to marry him.
How did she just have sex with him? That's the grossest thing ever.
Well, you know she does. Okay, so my Juicy Scoopers, okay, people that love my podcast, Juicy Scoop, and I'm on social media, they've done some research.
Okay.
And she had an old fart before him.
But that's the whole, they don't know, old farts are bringing them over here and they have money. Usually you get ones with money, though. That's what they want.
I know.
So
and these people don't get paid a lot either.
So
was she
already over here then? And then she met the Penguin?
No, like I guess they met online. He went over there. He had to buy 2 water buffaloes for her dowry.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I don't even know how much a water buffalo costs.
Like $30.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I don't. Then he had to walk down, and he just the worst body, can't dance. He's got adult kids. I mean,
that's not even the best.
She's
that's
on
just
a hit show. I'm not on a TV show right now. I have to come and talk to you guys. So what am I gonna? You know, I don't blame these people, but it is. I mean, it is. Just humiliating. Then the other person that is amazing is the guy from Mesa, Arizona. Ica.
I don't know anybody's. I barely remember these guys' names.
Oh, my God. This guy, he goes, I store home movie theaters. I'm like, you plug in a flat screen. Like, you are not. And then he has his girlfriend who is she's from the Philippines, but he doesn't have a home either. He lives with 2 roommates.
Jesus. Now this one, do you see the blonde girl? That's David. That's the one we were just talking about. That girl right there, the blonde girl.
Here's another one. Okay, then there's this other one.
That one there. That's okay, the one that...
This girl, Nicole, she is very...
She lives here. She's in earshot of our radio station right now.
Oh, my God,
right
Nicole,
now.
Please come to my show.
I keep trying to get her on the air, and she won't... Did you talk to her?
I spoke with her, and then they all have, like, their handler here in Florida won't allow them to come on yet, because I guess they can't reveal anything, and they have a contract with the whatever.
Although, I gotta tell you, that guy, I have a little respect for him, because at least he's like, listen, you're too fat for me to marry. Like, he's being upfront about it.
I think he's gay.
Oh, he may be.
100% gay. I don't even think they French kissed.
Oh.
He keeps saying, every time she wants to get romantic, he's like, well, in Morocco, it's a Muslim country, so we can't have anything.
Or he might just
contact.
Be grossed out by her. Maybe he doesn't want to have sex with her.
Well, I mean, clearly, but he doesn't even seem to like Americans, so why does he want to come here that bad?
Because it's so bad over there that they'd be willing to leave to come over here.
He gets to go to a cafe and hang out with his friends all night.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
My favorite, though, is the guy who's, he's marrying the southern 40-year-old lady whose father won't go to the wedding. And,
oh, yes.
And he's like...
But she's like, we're going to go. I'm finally getting married.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's okay. It's okay.
Then she's like, what will you do for the bachelor party? He's like, oh, we have lots of strippers, hookers.
So this guy is from the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 41 and she's got these two kids. And he's like, I don't like taking care of kids. Kinsley doesn't like me. And I'm like, oh my. No, the only people that I can say can get married and do okay is the bouncer from Ireland and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
They're equally attractive.
Yes.
And I feel like he's a little controlling, but I feel that might work.
What is his name? Do you remember his name?
I don't know. He said he's from the poorest country in Europe.
How about...
Isn't it funny? Because I think, Morocco, or they're coming from Thailand or something, it's going to be difficult for them to get in. Ireland, I'm like, can't they just come here?
The rest of the Irish,
they're fine. They already speak English.
No, he's from like some small... break off from Russia, but then he was in Ireland being a bouncer.
Okay. Is this Andre?
Andre.
Yeah. So Andre. Now get this.
Yes.
But Andre. He looks like he hasn't washed his hair in a year though. He looks like he hasn't washed his hair. He's got a greasy Caesar.
Yeah.
Andre, the girl that he's trying to marry.
Yes.
Her sister.
Yeah.
Is the ex-wife of a good friend of mine, a radio guy here in Tampa.
The sisters are beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, but so the sisters, this is their issue. So they go out to dinner with Andre and their sister, and they're like, so if we want to have a girls' night, we're taking her out with us, and we're staying out all night, and we're getting strippers.
In Vegas.
And we're doing what we want, and we're boozing, and I'm like... Okay, take it down. And like, I was almost like, you know what? Maybe that isn't okay. I always feel like about like women. Like we always go out on so many girl nights and stuff. But yet, like my husband was on the phone with his friend, and they were gonna go get a drink or something, watch some game. And the guy's like, "Yeah, wife's not gonna let me out tonight."
Ugh.
He's like, "Okay, that's what guys do. They go okay." But if you try to tell your girlfriend in this day and age, my husband won't let me out. We would be like, oh, my God, we are getting a van.
Right.
We are kidnapping you. We are calling Gloria
We'll set
Owen.
You free.
This wouldn't be happening if Hillary won. This wouldn't be happening.
But that,
we'll kidnap you.
That was the thing. If they weren't so aggressive, and the guy was like, look, I was a bouncer. I know what you whores do when you get out and start drinking too much wine. He's like, I'd rather she not do it. And then all she said was, if he's uncomfortable with it, I'm not gonna do it. I'm trying to make a relationship.
They were basically acting like he was keeping her in a shed.
Yeah.
As like a slave,
right?
That
right.
Wasn't gonna be able to go out and like put her in a burqa. Like I'm like, all he's saying is like, can we not do the stripper thing?
Right.
I think if your man says that to you, good. Then say you can't either. I've been to the Chippendale stuff. It's gross. The guys are gay. They're all greased up. You do not need to experience that. and this way, then you can say to your guy, no, you guys go golf, have a big steak dinner, gamble, whatever. But you don't need to be with strippers, and neither do I.
No, and how does that work out? Like with guys, if we go to a dirty enough strip club, we could at least get a little HJ action.
Well, that's why you should say that you actually make a deal so that your guy doesn't go do that.
But, I mean, you could say, I mean, you can go to, I'm like, my wife wouldn't care. She doesn't care. And I wouldn't care if she went to a dumb Chippendales thing. She'd be more mortified by that than I would.
My husband's cheap, and that was when I realized that it's great to have a cheap husband. Uh-huh. Because the last strip club he went to, it was like 10 years ago, and he was just like, oh my God. And they kept coming around, like asking for money. And I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, yeah. We know the business. That's why.
But that's what's great about having cheap husbands. Right. You're going to spend a grand on a hooker. You're not going to be going to the strip club. Yeah. Because it's not a good deal.
How long have you been married?
17 years.
Holy Christ.
I know.
And what does he do?
Just yells at me. No. he does like finance and real estate and stuff, but now with my podcast being so insanely popular, he kind of manages that.
How popular is your podcast?
Pretty freaking popular.
Like, give me an idea of what we're talking about.
I do it twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I get this month I will have had 1.4 million downloads.
Wow,
for the
good
month.
For you.
So,
and what are we selling ads on this thing? How do we do
ads? Yeah, but also it's totally free, so people, they binge listen, they get like hooked, and they go, oh my God, I just discovered you. And I listen to all month, you know, and so it's really great because I do, it's called Juicy Scoop, and I do whatever I think is juicy. So it's usually always funny, even if I'm talking about the Menendez brothers or whatever, but it's whatever I find.
Who do you do it with? Anybody? Or are you by yourself?
I have guests on, but I will do like 20, 30 minutes by myself sometimes if I feel like want to.
Yeah.
Other times if I have a great guest, they'll do the whole hour with me. You know, it just depends what I get. But I have comedians. Today I have AJ Benza. Do you remember AJ?
I know
AJ,
yeah.
Oh my God, talk about spilling the juice.
Wait, AJ's not a comedian. He's a goomba.
So much, but it's called Juicy Scoop. Yeah. So he's dropping names and, I mean, telling stuff. I'm like, you're not worried you're getting, like, murdered? He's like, I don't care. I mean,
his number one foe is the goddamn president because they were both banging the same chick back in the day. Didn't Trump steal a chick from her or AJ took the chick? Or
yeah, it was his girlfriend and then she was with Trump.
Yeah.
And no, he's got scoop on everybody.
Listen,
he's got scoop on Harvey Weinstein, everybody.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, he wrote the gossip column for the New York paper. So that I always wanted to have a picture with a sitting president. Like, I never had that. And I actually have a picture with Trump, the two of us together in suits.
You know what? My son has one.
Does he?
3 years ago, three years ago.
Wouldn't it be great if we met him at the same place?
No, it was, and I've met him twice. But back then, not when he was running. And but he, at his golf course in Palos Verdes, they were going to do, it was something to do with the junior golf.
Right.
And our club was like going to present him with a shirt. And my son was the tallest one. So they let my son do it. So there's a shirt with my son holding up Trump and giving it to him. And we love The Apprentice, you know. Who would have thought? Okay, where was your picture taken?
Oh, mine was at a much more distinguished venue.
What?
Madison Square Garden.
Uh-huh.
For WrestleMania. he was entered into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And I was in there.
But it's good because it's it was the Hall of Fame and you're both wearing suits.
Yeah, 4 years ago. He's in a tuxedo.
You're a tuxedo, yeah.
I'm in the seat. My buddy goes to take a leak and he texts me. He goes, yo, he's like, you got to come back here. Trump's back here. So I get up and I walk back there and he's there with Ivanka and I kind of know Donald Jr. a little bit. So I'm really looking for Donald Jr. and I don't see him. And then my buddy Pete's like, just go ask him and take a picture. And I went up to him and I go, hey, Mr. Trump, can we get a picture? And he looks around and he goes, all right, make it quick. I was like, what a dick. All right, let's take it. So we took the picture. And now that he became president, I'm happy that I have this picture with the sitting president. I don't know why I brought that up. I was trying to relate that
because
to something.
You said AJ has AJ Benz.
Oh, AJ banged a chick that the president banged. Like, that's got to be kind of cool. Although with Clinton, we probably all crossed paths somewhere along the lines.
Exactly. No, so, it's real fun. I, like, you know, love talking about all that stuff and figuring it out.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, besides word of mouth and getting out there, do you market your podcast anywhere? I always wonder how people are finding these things.
You know, I started to do it 2 years ago, and I really did it out of, like, I had a couple shows after Chelsea Lately that didn't make it.
Right.
And I was like, I really liked the daily. I wrote and produced Chelsea Lately, so I love talking about daily topics. So I was like, okay, I'll try this. But I was a little bit like, well, now I'm another loser with a podcast.
Right.
And I kind of poo-pooed it. And then I all of a sudden realized how many people were listening. And probably the best way is just being a guest on other popular podcasts. Then someone's like, oh, and they discover yours.
That's why I thought podcasting wasn't going to work, because it's just the same idiots interviewing each other. Like, you get the same
Well,
comedian.
That's why I don't do that. I mean,
right.
I separate mine.
You now you do it the right way.
You got to kind of have a niche.
You do.
When it's just comics talking about being on the road, I find that that's not interesting to the person that's in their cubicle. And that's like who's listening.
Yeah.
You know, the person that has a job, that has a commute. And so but also it's got to be fun for me.
Yeah.
And I like that sometimes I don't have to be hysterically funny every second. It just can be interesting.
When you're writing and doing that show, does it bother you as a comedian that you're making somebody else funny? I always thought that would drive me nuts if you write jokes for somebody else.
No, yeah. Not at all.
Really?
No, I love working on a show and collaborating with other writers.
Yeah.
And no, I never felt that. You're flattered if they choose your joke. So you're like, great. You like hear them say it and you're like, oh,
I would be embarrassed
great.
If somebody was writing jokes for me and I had to read their jokes. I'm like, well, then I'm not good enough to do this if I can't. You know what I mean?
What do you think Jimmy Kimmel like should write every single joke every night? I mean, there's no way.
That's an hour show as opposed to 20 hours a week. 5 hours out of 20, and they have longer commercial breaks. Like, I don't, like, yes, I think, not obviously, he's not going to write everything.
Yeah, but why not make the show the best? What happened on Chelsea Lately, what happens on those shows is every show is different. Mostly on the late night shows, writers go and they write all their jokes and it's somewhat competitive to see what joke gets picked.
Right.
Ours was like, we would talk about something and someone would just be writing down what everybody said and then they'd go back and make those the best jokes and then they would even get punched up again.
Yeah.
And that's a very collaborative, and so I felt that made it fun and took the competition out of it, and you just wanted to make the show as fun as possible.
I just think, because I worked with a guy before I had this show where I felt like he was using all my stuff and I'm writing, and but that, which is cool because you gave me your stuff, make it, but then all of a sudden he's making money and I'm still eating at McDonald's, and I'm like, that's where I think it would get frustrating.
If you're eating at McDonald's, but if you've got a writer's guild job,
then you're like, this is my gig.
I think it's like, but I also feel like as a creative person, you know, well, sometimes people will be like, oh my God, like, you know, my kids are convinced that like ABC has bugged our house because a lot of those family sitcoms, like literally there's bits from my act that I'm like, I do think maybe some writers are watching my act.
Right.
Or maybe not. Maybe that's why my stuff is funny, because it's so relatable.
Because you're
like, that happened to me too. And I think you just have to like let that go, because you'll go crazy if you think that someone's stealing your stuff. And you got to just know that, you know what, I can come up with something else. If that's the only thing you do and someone takes it, fine. But the next week, you should come up with something new.
How many kids do you have?
Three.
What are they, boys, girls? How old?
I have a stepdaughter who I've raised who just started college. And then I have my two boys who are a freshman in high school and a sixth grader.
Does the freshman in high school, does he know you're cool? Is he embarrassed by you? What stage are we at?
Starting to get it. Like, you know, I'm starting to exploit them more. Like in the beginning, I was real classy. I wouldn't show their faces on Instagram. Now I'm like, I have had my son dress up as a Real Housewife, Dorinda, and I have him in drag. And I will have him do bits. I've had him imitate Andy Cohen. I'm like, you're good at this. Look, neither of you are going to be doctors, okay?
No, you're not.
You're either going to be in entertainment or do sales. So work on the personality. Do you want a lip kit one day? Like, let's take a page out of Kris Jenner's book and make something happen.
Now you're friends with her?
Yes, I am.
How great is that?
She gave me this purse.
Are you serious?
Yes.
How do you become tight
I've
with
been
her?
Friends. We were friends before either of us were on E! And then I'm able to maintain friendship. So I hate it when people think I'm like a star effer when I actually meet somebody and am a good friend. And
does she call you up and go, you're not going to believe what Bruce just told me? Like that close of a friend? You have those conversations?
When it was happening, I didn't know what was happening. And I would read the magazines. And my mother would ask me constantly, come on.
You know.
Is Bruce becoming a woman? I go, no, Mom. This is just a tabloid thing. I think he just has like body dysmorphia. I don't know. You know, I would say that.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately, my mom passed before she ever saw him become Caitlin.
Oh.
And I'm like, I think I got to like go to her grave and tell her.
Yeah.
You were right, Mom.
I wasn't lying to you. You were just ahead of the game.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
So when right after it happened, then we discussed it. But it's like, yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah,
people would
yeah.
ask all the time.
The hair is the first thing to give it away. We have a friend who we were friends with that transitioned.
Yeah, yeah.
And for a while, we were like, what is going on with your hair? And then one day it all made sense.
Yeah, it was like Peter Pan hair, and then it's like, oh, you're a lady. Okay,
yeah, we gotcha. Get it.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I remember I got, when I was at Chelsea Lately, my agent called and was like, can you go out on this audition for this show? And they sent me the script, and it was Transparent. And I'm like, what? This is so unbelievable. And then also the siblings are gay, too. I'm like, this is just... And it's on Amazon. Who the heck is going to watch this? No, I'm not asking to leave work to go on this thing.
Mm-hmm. Boom.
Yeah. Same thing happened when I had another time. I went to go audition to be the host many years ago of American Idol. And they described the show to me, and I'm like...
I want to see
like, this is gonna work.
Amateur singing contest.
Like, you are the worst picker. Like, style. Like, no, seriously, you know.
What was that like before in the Dunkelman ages?
Yes, like to be a Dunkelman.
Oh,
like, it
man.
Was like, we're gonna have two hosts, and we did it. I mean, thank God they didn't pick a girl, because then I would have been like, but I didn't try that hard. I just kind of was like, oh, this is so dumb. This And Ryan Seacrest, and you know,
it worked out for him. I think,
yeah.
He'll be all right. Yeah. Heather McDonald is here. She's going to be at Sidesplitters all weekend. And what's the best way to podcast? You do iTunes or
wherever you listen to podcasts. Right. So lots of people don't know, but on your iPhone, there's this little purple thing that looks like a mic, that's a free app, and you just type in Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald, and you can listen in your car anywhere. And it's free, so wherever you want to listen, on your computer, whatever.
Tell me about what you think about this. I saw you tweeted about...
Matt Lauer. I love every single second of this stuff.
Yeah.
I tingle from head to toe with glee. Because I love that we're in an era that now people can tell their story. And so I kind of get mad when some people say, yeah, but, you know, the Al Franken thing is not as bad as this. Okay.
Yeah.
But she can still tell her story.
Oh, yeah.
We women haven't been able to tell their story. They've been shut up, and it's been hurt. They're hurt their career. So if someone acted gross to you, why would you keep that person secret? You don't have to anymore. And I love every second.
Yeah, I think that this is going to give a lot of people, a lot of women, the courage that they need to come forward, because people are actually listening to them now.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me how horrible some of these people, like Harvey Weinstein, how does that stay so quiet for so long? I mean, he wasn't just...
He paid out so much money.
Yeah.
And once you accept that money, you have to agree that you'll never speak about it again.
Right.
And most sexual harassment cases are like that. So you think that it got better after Anita Hill, but it didn't.
No.
They just kept it quiet. And you can't blame a woman for taking a couple hundred grand and going, all right.
If she wasn't raped.
Don't do it again to someone else.
Yeah. If
even
guys,
if they are raped.
Well, I mean,
know?
I.
And even Gloria Allred is like, you know, I'm supposed to be good to my clients, so
yeah.
If that's what I feel like, and for it to be over and everything, because you go forward and then sometimes you don't prevail anyway, and your career's ruined, and you're seen as a troublemaker.
Worse than anything. You get, and this woman that had, one of the women that claimed to have sex with Matt Lauer was not. She's like, I had consensual sex, but I felt like if I said no, that I would be blackballed, and and that's the hardest part for the woman, I think.
Absolutely, and I don't think people not in this business understand how easy it is to blackball someone.
Yeah.
So when the Louis C.K. thing happened, it infuriated me. I knew about it, but when I heard the story of the two girls that he came up to them and they thought, oh my God, he thinks we're funny. This is amazing. Yeah, we'll have a drink with him. We have each other. They're fully dressed with their coats on, and he starts undressing, and they're like, why would they stay? I'm like, I think that they were like, is this a bit? They're so shocked. And then also there's this thing that you guys don't get being men, but we're raised to be nice and polite politeness will get us murdered sometimes. And we're trying to teach your daughter, you don't need to be polite. They just, the Girl Scouts did a whole thing. Don't make your daughter hug people.
Right, yeah, right.
Like, it's important. And I feel the same way. So they're probably like, what? And they're probably,
it's harder for me to relate to, I think, because I married a Jew from Jersey. So if I mean, I'm married to her. And if I came home and just took my wiener out and was like, what's up? She'd be like, she'd smack me out of the room.
Yeah. And so then when Louis C.K.'s like, oh, I, you know, I apologize. I thought it was okay since I would ask.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, then if you thought it was okay, why was it never in your stand-up act?
What, why but why do we all, and we then? All knew about that. We all knew the story. We've known about that story for years.
Yeah.
And nobody, everybody knew it, but nobody ever called him out on it. But then once it came out, then everybody
people
like.
Would call him out on it. When, in the research I did, there was a girl who was a reporter, and she went to the comedy festival in Montreal.
Right.
And she tried to, and she was thrown off the red carpet. They were like, get out. What are you doing asking about that?
Yeah.
And Roseanne Barr had brought it up a while ago.
Oh, yeah. So, about no, that. I mean, and then he's a comedy god. And that's the other thing. As a female comic, we've been told always, women, whole articles written, chicks aren't funny, women aren't funny. I know guys look at me and they're like, how is she headlining? She's not as funny as me. You feel it. So to have someone like that that is really respected to tell you that you're funny, you're like, oh my god, yeah, let's hang out, let's get a drink.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, he didn't think I was funny, he just wanted to get off on me. And it's shattering. And then when you try to tell the story and people are like, I'd keep that to yourself. I mean, I've had it happen to me about other things where it's like, I'd keep that to yourself. You don't want to look like a troublemaker, it could hurt your career. All it takes is for Louis, and I'm not saying he did this, is maybe those girls had a show in development at ABC. All he has to do is pick up the phone and go, hey, buddy, it's Louis. Oh, hey, how are you? Those girls, they're trouble.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Yeah.
We're not picking it up.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. And you don't know that that happens or not.
How bad has it been for you as a woman? Have you had major instances? Or
yeah, I mean, my incident happened when I was doing my podcast at Podcast One, and the owner, Norm Pattis, asked to hold my breasts. Can I touch your breast? Can I hold your breast? I was doing an ad for a bra. So
I was saying, what like capacity is that? Like, I'm a little bit of a pervert, and I don't think I could ever just walk up and be like, can I hold your breast?
And my first thought was like, oh my God, you know, he'd been saying that stuff to me for a year. And I just am like, just get away. And that day I called and I said, I don't want to do a podcast here anymore. And he's like, fine, but you can't do a podcast anywhere else. I had to hire an attorney. He made it so hard for me. But I never said,
why?
You sexually harassed me, because they said, well, if you bring that up, then you're blackmailing them. So I finally got out of there. And after the Trump tapes came out at Access Hollywood, I played it. And people know about it. And I play it. Him
You have it on tape.
I put it on tape. And it got a little bit of press. And then he hired a crisis management team, or Ray Donovan, I don't
know.
And crushed it. Like, I did whole interviews. And I'm like, when's that story coming out? Oh, my editor said it's not relevant anymore. I'm like, oh, really? So then it comes out. So now the thing about it is, I'm not suing.
Right.
I didn't put a secret wire. He knew it was being recorded. I have evidence of it. Yet nothing has happened to him, and he's still a UC regent, which means he sits on the board of all the UC schools.
Yeah.
Our governor appointed him. I assume all this stuff is probably
so based how is
on
that,
big donation. Well,
how is that not more of
writing
a,
about it? They're like, we want him off. They even did a 30 people even protested about it the other day at UC San Francisco. No,
nothing.
He's fine.
Wow.
And it's like, I can only tweet so much. I'm like,
yeah.
But I mean, that's what I do, because I'm like, he's got $350 million. Him giving me a little money, that's nothing. Make him get off this board where he has power. Oh!
Yeah.
So I love it.
That's the one that I think they get the most respect, is that when it's clear what your motives are, you're not trying to get a couple bucks out of them.
No, I mean, that wouldn't change my life. But,
right.
You know, I don't think that a 75-year-old white male that sexually harasses on a regular should be making decisions about our college students. So that I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. And I have a lot of young listeners. So I love that it's all coming out. I kind of see it, and I'm Catholic, I see it like what happened exposing, you know, all the pedophilia in the church, you know, and you don't hear about incidences anymore because they changed their policy. Yes, they hid it for many years, but now my kids go to Catholic school and I can't go into the classroom without doing full background checks, taking a class. They never let one adult alone with a child that isn't theirs.
Right.
You always have someone with you to protect you as the parent. And it's probably the safest place you can put your kid is a Catholic school.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's clean it up in every industry and let people know.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Woodland Hills, Calabasas area of LA.
And did you go to Catholic school?
Yeah, and my kids go to the same Catholic school I went to.
Oh, really?
And I, fortunately, I never had anything. Our parish has never had one scandal like
that.
Did
you ever get beat up, though?
Did I get beat
up?
Oh,
the nuns used to beat the hell out of me.
You know what? My nuns were nice. They never did anything. They just were Irish.
Oh,
and
no.
They were just like, Heather MacDonald, what are you doing? You know, and they were like a little bit mean, you know, a little lesbianish, but like, in a good way.
Yeah.
Like in a nice way.
Oh, no.
It wasn't, so they scared me, but.
That's their job. They're teachers also.
But there were weird things that they did that I find like strange now. Like the Monsignor would come in the day of, that the report cards would come out, and he would like call you up and be like, look at your report, and I'm like, that's not very good, Heather, like in front of the whole class. Like there was a lot of like weird humiliation stuff that now you look back and you're like, well, we can do better. Like you just learn better to be a parent.
Yeah, you know? They were definitely not they weren't the encouraging types. They were more of the embarrassing types.
Yes.
My parents were divorced, and I was like one of the few divorced kids in the class, so my eighth grade teacher would always refer to my father like on purpose to try and do that. So, that was a nun. That was Sister Kathleen.
How would she refer to your dad?
Like, take this home and have your father sign it. And she knew that my father wasn't there. And I'd have to tell her that my father wasn't there. Like, that's what you do.
And then
Sister Carmel used to literally grab a kid by the hair and smack his face. Like, it was brutal.
I have heard that about kids like our age. Like, if they being divorced was like a big embarrassment. Now it's like, oh, your parents are still together?
I know. That's,
they can't find anyone else? They
should have said, can you have your husband call him?
Yeah. Dude, and then Father Quigley from my high school tried to kiss Mike Rinaldi on the mouth on graduation day, and then he got defrocked after I moved. They got him for a couple of
good that they did.
I know, that's crazy.
Did you ever see the juiciest of juicy Netflix show? Oh God! About the nun, about the all girl high
keepers.
School,
so the graphic. Keepers. Yeah.
Is it hot?
It's just amazing.
Yeah,
but that was really like cover. But that was the girls being afraid to ever speak up. And again, it's hard for us to understand, and it's really hard for men to understand. I think they're getting it now, but I remember during the Cosby stuff, I'm watching like the 2020 with my husband. He's like, what? He's like, I would have walked right into, you know, LAPD. And I'm like, you are a 6'3 white male that's pretty much been safe of assault since you're like 13.
Yeah.
And I go, you just don't understand. And then what happened is these girls would wake up like on the Cosby, they'd tell their agent, and the agent was like,
you don't want to piss Cosby off.
There's only like five networks. Like, right. Where are you going to work if you piss off him? And it just continued and continued.
Yeah, the Cosby thing makes sense when you look back at it now. But I don't know. I do think that Al Franken was inappropriate. And I think that what he did was definitely wrong, certainly for a senator to do it, but for any male to do it to a woman who was sleeping. It's embarrassing and it's wrong. But I think it's way less... obviously, then Weinstein and then this Garrison Keillor. Did you hear about that? We didn't talk about that.
No, which was that?
So Garrison Keillor is a guy who does the Prairie Home Companion, works for Minnesota NPR. He's done. He's a 75-year-old man. He's been retired from doing his show for 2 years, but he still works for NPR.
Yeah.
So he had an incident yesterday where a woman claimed that he assaulted her. He says she was crying with him. She was sad with him in a situation. And he put his hand on her back, and she had a low-cut shirt. So when he put his hand on her back and she moved, it kind of like went up her back, which he could be lying. He could have been making a move. He said she pulled away, and he apologized, and then later on wrote her another email and said that he was sorry if that was inappropriate. That seems to be the right thing to do. Like, if I'm having a good conversation with you, you're single, I'm single, and you're attractive, and then later on we go in my office, and we're having another conversation. I feel like we have something going on, and I like hold your hand or something. You go, whoa. I just go, hey, sorry. I thought I was getting a vibe on here. I didn't assault you. I made a mistake, you know?
But is she saying he assaulted her? She's telling the story.
She's saying he assaulted now because now she got a lawyer. After he wrote the email, she wrote back and said, hey, we're cool. I get it. It was an accident. But now she has a lawyer.
Right.
So they went to him and they fired him, and he goes, fine. And he's like, I'm 75. I'm 2 year old to fight back. It was already retired anyway, so it doesn't matter. So, but I mean, there's just there's got to be a line.
No,
somewhere.
I understand. Like, obviously, there's different degrees. But my whole thing is, So what though? Like then let her not win. But like if she wants to tell that story, and she then she's just I'm just saying she's allowed to tell the story.
But what I'm saying is that's gonna it's those sort of people who are gonna hurt the legit people because then it makes everybody look at it like
the first one that comes out that they find out is totally false. Then it's that's gonna be over.
Well, and that happened with the Catholic Church too. I mean there were innocent people that were.
I would have lied if I would have got some money out of that. If I had thrown my name on the Father Quigley list, I would be like, yeah, he doesn't
know what he wants. I mean, even if you weren't, even if when you went to meet Harvey Weinstein in his, Peninsula Hotel in 2008, if something didn't happen, but you have a calendar from 2008 and you told a friend, I'm going to go see Harvey Weinstein, and now you say he assaulted me. Guess what?
Nope.
We're going to believe you.
Nobody's arguing that now.
We're going to believe you because I really don't think women do that. I just don't, because it's not fun and it's not what you want. It's not
Who's
how you
next?
Want to be famous.
Who's the next one we're going to hear about? You got to know some.
I have no. I don't even want to say a name because.
Good. Give me a little hint.
No, but I don't have any scoop.
Let's think about it.
I guessed Brett Ratner just because he always looked douchey.
But he has always been douchey.
But I didn't have stories about him.
And
so I just was like, oh, not surprised. I knew about the Matt Lauer. I knew on Monday that he was the next to go down.
Right.
Not that that's so early, but I didn't know from sources. And so, I always knew that he was a cheater and a womanizer.
Yeah.
So I think good.
You think we'll get a guy like Seinfeld who looks all squeaky clean, and he's married and he's got kids, and we find out, oh man, Seinfeld's been banging young lady comics or something?
No.
Who? There's got to be some. I
heard there's a big one coming out that's a comic coming next. And I don't know who it is. They didn't tell me who it was. But these two girls are like, we know about a guy. Who'd you say?
Amy Schumer.
Oh, about a guy, yeah.
Dave Chappelle.
Oh, God.
And then like rape.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we'll see.
The Harvey Weinstein stuff is kind of funny to talk about sometimes because you just think of this creepy old uncle whipping it out in a plant and all that. But once you start talking about forced raping girls and stuff, then there's no humor in it whatsoever. And it just becomes horrible because you know that even if they're getting punished, they're not getting punished for everything that they've probably done, depending on how big they are.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just, and so it's just very interesting and like how he made his Oscar contenders wear his wife's design.
Yeah.
You can't even wear what you want on the Oscar, on the red carpet, or he's not going to fund your movie. Yeah. I mean, he was a bully, but even guys that just had business with him are like, yeah, he was a jerk.
Right.
That's the thing. If you also want to talk about someone being an a-hole to you, do that too. Like you don't have to be quiet just because someone is more powerful than you. And so that's what I kind of like about just this transparency that's happening now.
Except for you, Spanish. Don't tell anybody that I mean to you. If you do, I will fire you tomorrow.
So nice to me.
Can't
all the
have
time.
That ruined. Heather McDonald is here. Can I tell you how much people love you?
Oh,
so I'm out to lunch, right?
Yeah.
And Spanish is like, do you want to have Heather McDonald come in? So I say to this girl, do you know who Heather McDonald is? And she's like, it sounds right. So I Google.
Yeah.
And I show it to her. She goes, oh, yeah, she's absolutely, she's funny. And then as I'm showing it, the waitress walks by and she goes, oh, my God, that lady is so funny. And I was like, okay, Heather McDonald is. But that is great. But that also goes to show that that whole digital world and podcasting and all that stuff is very effective for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, I love doing it and reaching people. And that's it's really fun. And then it's great to do the live shows, and meet people in person. So it's, stand-up is really fun, having the people right there. And, I love doing all the stuff.
Well, go out and see Heather. She'll be at Sidesplitters Friday, 8 and 10:15, Saturday at 8 and 10:30, 960-1197, or sidesplitterscomedy.com. It's a pleasure to meet you. I love when we can just talk about stuff, especially topical stuff. And I
loved it, too. Thanks for having me.
What is it? Do you watch Joanna and Chip?
Wait, who's Joanna?
The
Fixer Uppers.
Fixer Upper.
Are they the
half Asian and redneck?
Right, and they're ending their show.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. 5 seasons.
What do you think the real story is? They said it's to spend more time with their kids. I don't believe
that. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. That's what I wanted to see, if you knew what was going on there, because I don't think she really likes
it. I've read all the articles that, we want to end on a high. We we film all year round. Maybe it is true.
Because they just she just started a line, the Magnolia, where she like does a bunch of design stuff for like Target.
And I mean, if you can make the money just making the products and not have the cameras follow you around, like those shows, they don't pay a lot. You know, so you do it like anything else, Housewives, whatever. You do it so that you don't have to.
Right.
You know?
Right. So as soon as they got money out, they got out. They're like, all right, we did our time.
Get your brand.
Yeah.
I mean,
we have a buddy who used to ride roller coasters for the Travel Channel for a living. And then once he made his money, he was like, I'm out of this bitch.
Oh, yeah. Those travel shows, those are super exhausting.
Bert said he made more money from his podcast than he did from the Travel Channel.
I mean, here's the thing. That's TV is like, someone asked me, oh, would you want to do this show? And they started telling me about it. It was about to like go to different houses, but do this funny thing. And it was going to involve some travel. And I'm like, I know they're going to offer me like no money.
Yep.
And then I'm going to be gone. And I'm like, and I don't know that it's going to like bump my money on the road or bump my money for the podcast or anything.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, if you can touch people, you know, and not have to leave your house or leave it less frequently, like I do less shows now, I think it's great. I mean, I like to be on TV because I have an ego and I like to get my hair and makeup done. And I'm doing something this week and I love it. But, you know, it's nice to know that in this world, people can make money without an agent, do their own YouTube show. I think it's great. And sometimes I feel like traditional actors poo-poo that and are like, oh, a YouTuber, you know, a podcast. And it's like, okay, well, fine.
Yeah, of course they do. That's insecurity. Yeah. I don't know.
Have to, but at least, you know, at least people can, you know, be entrepreneurs, kind of.
I have another one here.
That show you just passed on became the most popular show on television. Just say that.
That's your streak.
I know what you're going to say, and I was yelling at my son the other day. I go, get on YouTube. Do something.
Yeah.
Make some money. Let's go.
I have an 11-year-old son with long hair and dyed blonde and all that. I'm like, make something out of that face of yours. Get on. I bought you 9 cameras. Make a channel already.
Exactly.
Daddy wants to retire. I don't know. I need somebody's got to do something. I've spent so much money on this goddamn Logan Paul or Luke Paul or whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah, that kid.
Yeah, I'm buying $100 backpacks, and these kids are killing me, man, these YouTubers.
You know, I was just like, you know, remember Anna Nicole Smith?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was just reading this article about her daughter. She's 11. You know, she's with the Larry Burkhead. They're, like, doing fine. And he's like, yeah, my daughter wants to be a YouTuber. They don't even say, I want to be a movie star.
No.
I want to be an actress. No. They go, I want to be a YouTuber. No. So
you're in that slot, man. You snuck right in. You slid into iPodder. You son of a, stealing people away from radio. Listen, it was very nice to meet you. Thank you for hanging out. Heather McDonald's
Thanks
here
for
at Sidesputters.
Come see me this weekend.
Yeah, 960-1197 to make reservations.